Many of the history of the world has been more need to believe in the fifth commandment than today. The simple imperative, you shall not kill, was already broken, as we know, at the dawn of human history. Cain murdered his brother Abel out of envy. No sooner did the human race fall into sin by disobeying God than one of the sons of our first parents killed his brother. So the story of the human race goes on. One book of the Old Testament after another describes the animosity, the jealousy, the ambition, the pride, the hatred that resulted in the killing of innocent people. Absolutely speaking, the unjust killing of an innocent person is homicide. Homicide by reason alone. We do not need divine revelation to know that murder is wrong. We don't want anyone to take our lives. So reason tells us, since others have the same human nature we have, they should not be killed by us. However, and this is an important adversity, we distinguish two kinds of divine revelation. One we say is absolutely necessary, and the other is relatively necessary. What is absolutely necessary revelation? That is absolutely necessary, which could not even be conceived rationally by the human mind until and unless it was revealed. And even after revelation, is rationally incomprehensible, otherwise known as strict mysteries. Like the Holy Trinity, like the Incarnation, like the real presence, like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But of all the truths that God need not have revealed, because they could be known by reason, such as that depending on our behavior in this life, we shall be either happy or unhappy in the life to come. Such as that God exists. Such as that we are to obey those in legitimate authority. Such as sexual promiscuity is destructive to the individual and to society. The fifth commandment, as such, is knowable to the human reason without revelation. However, the human race, having sinned and become darkened already from the very beginning, and having continued to sin, having sin further darkens the human mind. God then in his mercy, revealed the Ten Commandments, here now the fifth, in order that everyone would know what God wants human beings to do. Consequently, even though people should know naturally that murder is wrong, their fallen sinful human nature is darkened. And I repeat, sin darkens the mind, and the most dangerous people are educated sinners. The most dangerous people are intellectual sinners. And the more academically sophisticated they are, if they are sinners, they are, I won't say the dangers or the threats to human society, they are the main reason for the chaos in once civilized nation. Sinners, I don't say do not, they cannot think straight. God, then, in his mercy, revealed the fifth commandment. And if there is one towering proof of a loss of faith in God, and even denying his authority in human lives, it is the specter of willful homicide that characterizes our age. Ours is the most homicidal century in the history of mankind. After a while, they become mentally paralyzed, paralyzed by the witness of sin, and blind to the most obvious commandments of the Most High. It's still on the introduction, but I think it needs it. This is what has happened to the perpetration of murder. They hear this by now maybe 100 times, but it's a necessary prelude to what we're talking about. There have been more abortions since 1900 than all the previous centuries of human history put together. The annual average now, I'm told, in communist China is 50 million abortions. I have access to up-to-date literature from China. One child, no more. And the incredible limits to which pregnant mothers will go to see their child for birth, the police holding these women. Again, there are more killings of innocent people in our century, of which the Nazi Holocaust of some 5 million, and by the way, not only Jews, only God knows, the official figures that I know of, more Christians were murdered by the Nazis than Jews. You never guessed that. Ours, then, is the most murderous nation. When I left Washington 5 years ago, happened to look at the front page of the Detroit paper shortly after I got to Detroit. Big headlines. Detroit is no longer the coin capital of America. It is now Washington. So that one crime capital to go to another. Then, as I keep telling people, we have to remind ourselves there have been more martyrs for Christ who were killed for their faith since 1900 than all the previous centuries from Calvary up to 1900 put together. Now, as we know with that all, and we're still on the introduction. In once, and I keep repeating, once civilized nation after another, murder is now legalized. Abortion is now the law of the land. The killing of unborn children is now medically commonplace. The murder of one round of persons is practiced and approved by the civil laws. And really, without identifying it, a large hospital in Chicago, on a percentage basis, assured the morale of the people coming into this bad hospital must die before they leave the hospital. The financial budget of the city and the state will not provide for, more than a certain quota. I was involved in a case where a Catholic nurse and old folks residents in the East testified. Her life, of course, was in danger. Testified in the years, not too many years that she was there, she kept count of some 2,000 people who were murdered, deprived of the absolute necessities of life, so they might die. To keep up with the budget provided for that institution. Euthanasia has become a euphemism, and assisted suicide makes front page news. I cannot tell you how many times top headlines in the Detroit Daily Papers about, well, you know who, the man who is practicing euthanasia, and praise to the skies. And in some countries, and the latest, as you know, was Holland. All kinds of clever phrases. But both suicide and the killing of unwanted persons has now become the law of the land. So in this meditation, we ask ourselves only really one question. Why is innocent human life sacred so that it may not be deliberately terminated by any human authority? In other words, why does God alone have the right to take innocent human life? When and how and under what circumstances he and not we decides? Our answer comes in what else? in three parts. Human life is sacred because it comes from God. Human life is sacred because it is intended in this life to know, love, and serve God. And human life is sacred because it is destined for the eternal life in the possession of God. First thing, human life is sacred because it comes from God. And the key preposition there is from. As we know, all beings in the world come ultimately from God. Except for Him, no one but He would exist. However, human life and the stress is on the word life. Human life is directly, individually, personally, immediately produced by God. God not only was creator, God is constantly creating. When a child is conceived, the parents contribute the bodily preconditions that God must Himself personally create a human soul, and that is a defined article of the Catholic faith. Each human soul, individually, separately, distinctively, uniquely created from nothing by God. You see immediately that behind the pro-life movement, as understood by us, is an article of faith. And that is why in the new pro-life organization we formed under encouragement from the Holy See, Eternal Life. I tell people, I give lectures on this subject. Except for the Roman Catholic Church, there would be no pro-life movement anywhere in the world. Title of one of my favorite lectures. Consequently, every conception is an act of divine creation. The parents provide the body. Ovum is fertilized. So the ovum is fertilized. So what? At the moment, this is our faith. And I repeat faith. At the moment the ovum is fertilized, God creates from nothing an immortal human spirit, and then infuses, as the Church tells us, the human spirit into the fertilized ovum, and the combination of fertilization of the ovum and the infusion of the just created human soul is human conception. There is such a thing as development of doctrine. And one of the main reasons why God allows error and evil in the world is that our faith may become more clear, more intelligible, under the horrendous pressure of the homicidal society in which we are living. Our faith now and the meaning of human life and for our present purpose, that human life comes from God, has been sharpened and clarified as never before. That is why the mania for testing the quality of a newly conceived child is just that. It is madness. Mercy as eugenics for quality reproduction. Which I did not have to say it. And there may God forgive them. Alleged pseudo Catholic moralists. That write and publish that a child recognized before his birth as being defective may legitimately be murdered. And Charles Kelly for 18 years with an Episcopal Board of Directors for Catholic University was allowed to remain on the teaching faculty until the Pope stepped in and with the help, thank God, of Cardinal Hickey, finally got that madman Charles Curran out of the faculty. Consequently, no matter how a child is conceived, no matter what the unborn child's condition may be, no matter how unwanted a pregnancy or undesirable a prospective birth, that newly conceived being as human, a child of God, and directly produced by His almighty power, is likely not to be taken by any human being, or not, because it belongs to God. And that, this needs to be emphasized, that is why abortion is such a devilish crime, because it deprives God of His rights. Why is human life sacred? Because it was created for God. Why is it sacred? First, because human life comes from God in a way that no other life in the universe originates. But now it is made for God. God creates human souls and infuses these created souls into human bodies so that when the human being, body and soul, may come into the world in order to know, love and serve its creator. Now then, they keep asking, is the taking of human life a sacrilege? Because human beings are to glorify God to which they are on earth. That is why God makes human beings. We speak correctly, but incompletely. But murder is wrong because it deprives a human being unjustifiably of his or her right to life. True enough, but that is not the main reason why the taking of unborn human life is sinful. That's a blind right. Is the right that God has God has a life to have children be born. God has a life to have children reach the age of reason and discretion. God has a life to have people grow to maturity. God has a life to have people no matter what their age or mental condition may be. God alone has a right to call a person from this life into the life to come. And as people deny God his rights logically, shall I say psychologically, they become increasingly godless. Atheism is not a philosophy. Atheism is a result of immorality. Once people defy the rights of God, their minds, I repeat, logically, and again to repeat, psychologically, rationalize their conduct. Atheism is the rationalization of crime. What then is the right of God? It is the right to glorify himself, be glorified by human beings, both by themselves as human beings and by those who, say when human beings are somehow, as we say, handicapped. What a word. Walking in whatever physical, mental, or emotional qualities that human beings decide that other human beings shall have. In other words, God is glorified not only by a child being born, reaching maturity, and then glorifying God by knowing, loving, and serving it. Oh no! God is also glorified by those then on whom even the most helpless child or person depends. God is glorified by the love, the selfless love of the mother and the father who care and take care and cherish a child that by all human standards is a liability. Oh no. Liability? Nothing. Won't you believe it? You have to believe. And it is more to human existence than this pathetically short and painful life in this valley of tears. One more question. Why is human life sacred? Human life is sacred because its purpose, the purpose of human beings, is their final, eternal destiny. Or to supply a third preposition, human life is sacred because it comes from God, is created for God, and is created to be with God. We all know on the third level of why human life is sacred. Unlike the irrational creation of sun, moon, and stars, the mountains and the seas, However, he is not in this world, but in the world to come. We are being forced to brace ourselves. The world is constantly challenging us. Why should, on human worldly terms, an unwanted person be wanted? Because God wants that human being. You are not created for this world, and with every passing, I don't even say every passing year, nor with every passing month, I keep telling you, never in my life has what the Catholic call life after death taken on a deeper, sharper, clearer, more satisfying meaning than today. God alone has a right to determine who will be conceived, who will be born, how long each person is to live in this life, and when such a person is to go to eternity. Over the centuries, God has called many human beings in their early life, and over the marvelous developments of our own Western society is the extension of chronological age among people, say, in our nation. People do that longer, but that too over the years in giving conferences and retreats to the little sisters and the poor. Is there any limit to how long God wants human beings to stay on earth? Well, he desires. And as you know, there are a flood of all kinds of moral issues, all the moral problems arising. What about this accumulation of people who, by human standards, are no longer useful members of society? Twenty, 30 years ago, I didn't have to give conferences like this during a retreat, but somebody had better talk this language. And after all the erudition, all the subtlety, all the nuances, to use a well-worn word, have been exhausted, they may never deliberately, consciously, willfully terminate an innocent human life. What is our conclusion? To deprive an innocent person of life here on earth is to claim divine authority over what? Over the purpose of human life. That purpose is not in this world. It is not in this world. And the longer a person lives in this world, the more opportunity that person has to glorify God. And those who care for that person, the more glory they give to God by their practice of that loving charity, which, as we are told, is a bedrock of Christianity. It is then up to God to determine. However, a person is to remain on earth. There are child saints canonized by the church. Dominic Savio, my own fellow Jesuit, the age of 18, Stanislaus Kostka. There are aged people, like Alphonsus Ligouri. There are people who, by all human standards, are a liability to the society in which they lived. Helpless, paralyzed invalids. Oh, the joy I had, 7 o'clock in the morning, when I left Ghent, Belgium, this Tuesday. I visited a man the night before, and then got permission from the bishop to offer mass in his room. 40 years. Completely paralyzed. Could not move a muscle. All he could do, his face muscles were still intact. He could see and he could talk. Dedicated people around the clock, not being paid for their services. Oh, the thrill of meeting such self-sacrifice in our modern selfish world. Then, 7 o'clock in the morning, I got permission to offer mass in his room. After mass, said the Our Lady, Santa Salve Regina. Some 30 missionaries of charity, Mother Teresa's sisters, every square foot of that room was filled. Man was in tears of joy. He told me, I will not exchange my life for anything in the world. My 40 years have been very, very happy because I know, I'm quoting, how much Jesus loves me. That is why. Well, we Catholics have a mission in the modern homicidal world. First ourselves to be deeply convinced that human life is sacred because it is human beings and glorify God, and not just in this world. Because remember, the more generous we are in serving God here on earth, the higher price we pay for being obedient to the will of God, the more God will be glorified for all eternity. Lord Jesus, you are the author of our life twice over. The author of our natural life as human beings. The author of our supernatural life as your children, destined for an everlasting dwelling place in the home for which we were made. Lord, give us the courage to become apostles of human life in order so that helping human beings to be born, to stay alive as long as you want them to, and may add to your glory now and for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.